from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The drive is live, and you hear Clint Sterner right there. He's got the shades on. We were out there at practice today. It was all right. It's all right.
You survived?
Yeah, I survived.
Well, if y'all are curious, Dick was out there cutting a tree up again, moving it completely across his yard at 11 o'clock.
I'm going to be honest with you, man.
It's not even hot out here.
I'm starting to get worried about Dick.
Nah, there's a lot of people you need to worry about. But
don't worry
Dick
about me, whippersnapper.
I'm getting worried about Dick, man.
Don't worry about Dick now.
Dick. How old is Dick again?
He's got to be. I mean, I'm erring on the low side of 86.
Yeah.
I mean, spring chicken.
The fact that you think it's okay to make fun of Dick, good old Dick, is that's 2 days in a row you've been disrespectful to Dick, and he's just out there grinding.
Whatever, dude.
He's just out there grinding.
Whatever, Boomer.
I mean, you just sensitive as hell, boy. Soft and sensitive.
I'm sensitive. You're the one getting upset right now about some sort of disrespect BS.
You're disrespecting Dick, man. He's out there grinding in the heat, baby.
He's a spring chicken. He's good.
Yeah, he is.
He doesn't care if I make fun of him a little bit. I don't know if he's a hard ass.
He's just a little tougher than most.
I just want Dick to stop.
Why?
I'm just saying, Jerry West didn't make it. He was 86. He died.
I mean, Dick is out there grinding, doing what makes him happy.
We lost the logo, didn't we?
Hey, man, tell him.
No, I'm not going to negatively impact Dick's life.
Dick, if you're listening, hey, man. You've done great, man.
Hydrated with some prune juice.
Enjoy yourself. Chill out, Dick.
Hey, Dick, go sit in the AC and just shrivel up and die, bub.
Nobody tell you shrivel up and die. Yeah, you don't shrivel up. Just chill, man. You ain't got to cut the grass.
You ain't got to cut up none of that.
You got people there.
Nah, Dick's grinding me. Y'all leave Dick alone. Just like today, you got out there. You survived, didn't you? He's all right.
Whoever said anyone wasn't going to survive?
I'm also not 86 and chopping up stuff.
Well, but you was okay, man.
All right. Like,
everybody was good,
That's
man.
Why I'm glad Romeo took a seat.
Oh, Romeo be all right, too.
Sweating bullets on that golf cart. God, I remember that. That was tough. Again, if you missed it,
nut package.
You hear Tyler Milner there. Guy. That fella. You hear Tyler Milner there. As the drive is live. Thank you for taking us out of your YouTube and Twitch. Hello. How's it going? Go ahead, Tyler. Tyler just started the show. It's about time for a shave for Tyler. Nipples are out.
What's sad? This is only like almost 2 weeks. That's it. Man. It's frustrating.
I mean, your chest grows like Tim Allen on Santa Claus.
Facts.
He would shave his beard and it would just grow right back.
I'm in big trouble.
Yeah, big trouble. those of you on listening to us on the Odyssey app, we appreciate you. On the radio, those of you on the text line, keep jumping in. We love the interaction on the show. Before we get into it again, as I said, 2:40, programming note, 2:40, you'll be able to hear D'Amico Ryans. He sat down with us. And for those scoring at home, no, I didn't piss him off with the question.
Man, that's debatable.
I just got the red carpet running into a controversy.
With the questioning, I did not piss him off. So it was a good conversation with D'Amico Ryan.
Hold on, show.
So 2:40, stay there. It's Ron Cal. I want to first kick this thing off by saying Happy birthday to my bride.
Oh, as well you should. Damn, I should have beat you to it.
Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to beat me to saying happy birthday? Happy birthday, Court.
Damn.
39. Next year be big.
But she's 39?
39, baby.
Damn.
Yep. One step behind yours truly.
I mean, Court looks, I mean, she got a
she still gets carded sometimes.
She's
to you.
Go ahead, Tony. Yeah, go ahead and break that thing. Yeah, go ahead,
happy
Tony.
Birthday.
Hope you're listening, Court.
God, this was so great.
In my soul.
You're going to hit this next one, ain't you?
Happy birthday, dear
love.
Happy birthday to you.
I mean, she... Hey, T can go now.
That's one of my favorite moments.
I always forget about that run she does at the end.
That was good, man.
We love you, Tony. Hopefully you're out there.
That was impromptu. Happy birthday, Court.
Yeah, man. She got a good 24 to 26 look to her.
Oh, yeah. She still gets carded. She still gets like...
I mean, if you're standing next to her, late 30s. But if I mean...
She's still getting carded like Figgy.
She's got a low, low number, though.
Yeah, yeah.
All bull job. I'm not trying to get brownie points. I mean, she's got a... I mean, I would say 31 max if I just saw her. Just solo. Like if I'd have seen her at the Beyonce concert, I'd have said.
Without me?
Oh, without you? Yeah, yeah. I mean, dressed to the nines with the girls. I would have thought, because I'm going to guess her girls, I don't know them, no disrespect, but I'm going to guess they probably look a little older than her. She got a little baby face. I'd say 30, 31 max, but I'd go 26 probably.
26, yeah. She's always looked young. You're right. When I'm with her, they card her. They tend to card her less. But she still gets.
I mean, you're a mature man.
Yeah, I am. Good looking guy. I have been told that I look like I'm 27, 26 before.
I'll give it to you. You don't look at the age of 40. You got your bob going, a real good bob going.
Somebody told me, I can't see
Harold and the peak. I think
somebody told me that in Cleveland. Thought I was. I was 26
or
27.
I think somebody's drunk, but I would go. I think you do look younger than your age. I think you do look younger than your age.
Somebody was drunk. All right. Today was. I think you said it. I said, "What?" Hey, we were sitting out there at practice. I said, "What jumps out?" You said today was a big Stephon Diggs day. This from our guy DJ Bienemy, ESPN, who covers the Texans. He says this in a tweet, Clinton. I think we can both agree with what we've been seeing in camp and what we saw today. Today is another reminder of why Diggs might be the number one when the season rolls around. Not even a might, I don't think. He has had two big touchdowns. One, he ran away from the initial coverage of Derek Stingley Jr. and ran away from everybody. He has had two big touchdown catches and I think 5 to 6 catches overall. But it's been targeted almost 10 times in this game. No other wide receiver has had that type of feeding in a practice this camp. Today was a big, big – he took turns. He got Lassiter for a touchdown. He got Stingley for a touchdown. He did work today.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's almost like they just pick and choose when they want to have a Diggs day. It's like, hey Diggs, we want to reward you for working so hard. Let's go eat today.
Here's a Diggs day.
I mean, it's the quick game, it's the mid-range game. It's definitely the over the top deep game. He moves a lot. There's not a doubt who the number one receiver is in with this particular offense. I don't know how you go out there and like Bobby Slowick dials these things up, and clearly the chemistry with him and CJ Stroud is through the roof. Like, I don't know how you go out there and dial those things up and then lean into, oh, well, whatever's going to win a game for us this week.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever's going to win a game for you this week, I think for 17 of 18, you got a bye week in there. That bye week, you can piddle and tinker if you want to. But for 17 weeks, I think Diggs is the dude, man. And so, I'll be honest with you, I love what it does for the rest of the receiving core. We've talked about, I was talking to Sean Pendergast again today. I mean, and this is, maybe I'm beating a dead horse here, but I love the way that it puts Nico Collins in a true boundary X receiver. Today, He's at that boundary spot. They motion Joe Mixon out there to the slot. The defense adjusts by backing the corner up a little bit. He drives the five-yard hitch on Nico's face, and he goes and gets 8 yards. I don't know if he'd have broke a tackle or not because they're not tackling to the ground, but if he'd have broke a tackle, like we've seen him do, he could have went and got 20. But having that, like that safety valve, that whether you got a at any point in time, if that corner softens up, you just add that little motion, that corner softens up, boom. Don't ask the line to protect for 4 seconds. Just drive the football out there to a big-time receiver and let him go make plays. If they don't adjust, then you got numbers on the other side. I love what it does for Nico. And if you look at really what it could potentially do for Tank Dell, which I think it's, again, going to allow him to play one position, have to think less and play fast. And then I also think it's going to open him up and allow him to be more of a factor on special teams in a return game. And so you just, I mean, the Stephon Diggs add, at least for a year, is going to, it's not just about Stephon Diggs, even though that is absolutely beautiful. And we're going, that's the main attraction. But boy, the ripple effect is big, man.
And listen, I got to say, I was one that, And obviously we'll see even more when game starts. But based off what we've been seeing in training camp thus far, I think I'm clearly feeling different about it. I was one, Clint, that I thought it was a legit question of, yo, is this the same all pro / Pro Bowl level player that played in Buffalo, because he just absolutely fell off a damn map. At the end of the year, as I've said before, October 15th is the last time he had a 100-yard gain, and that was somebody who was getting those routinely leading up into that. I know they changed the offense a little bit, but I watched multiple games where he was just getting shut down at times. And looking in practice, the start of the year, I thought, boy, yes, if this is the same Stephon Diggs, this absolutely changes everything. But I did wonder if that was the same guy. What we've seen in camp thus far, at this point, he looks like the dude that helped the Buffalo Bills become one of the AFC's best over the last several years. And hey, he looks like the real deal, like he has been.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet against him. I mean, I would lean heavily right now into the fall off last year had to do with the change of offensive coordinator in Buffalo midseason. And when they changed offensive coordinators, they clearly went to featuring the running back and featuring the quarterback run game, and they started winning ball games, and so they stuck with it. And so I would lean heavily into that before I would ever lean into Stephon Diggs doesn't have it anymore, because what we've watched, there ain't no doubt he's got it. I mean, he hadn't slowed a tick. Now
doesn't appear in camp that he has slowed up. Uh-uh. As we said, we'll see more in the year, but it does not appear in camp that he has slowed down. I tell you, sticking with the receivers when we're talking about camp. Hey, Tyler, Clint, I give up.
I'll never give up, man.
I can't get an understanding of the John Mitchell situation.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get it. I remember going into the game against the Steelers saying, look at myself, he's gotta have some moments. He's got to do something. Xavier Hutchinson picked it up. We've seen him practice. Other guys picked up. We know the top four are pretty safe. He's had opportunities. Clint, in the Steeler game, he goes one catch, 7 yards with two targets. Like, he has two targets in the game, one catch, 7 yards. But then we watch practice today, and he's rolling with the ones. He's in the huddle with C.J. Stroud more than any other quarterback that he would be in the huddle with. Davis Mills didn't get a lot of run, if any, today. So Tim Boyle and Case Keenum were running with the twos and threes. He was by far in the huddle with C.J. more than anybody else. And, like, I can't understand what to make of it, because his production and what we've watched does not seem like he should be in that spot and in that space, and that he would be in trouble to make the roster. But based on where they keep playing him and who he's playing with, it is hard to think that he is in trouble to make the roster.
Yeah, I think they clearly want to make it work. I mean, because there is nothing.
Good. There you
is
think that's what it is? Absolutely,
there's absolutely nothing other than where they drafted him that warrants him being in a huddle with C.J. Stroud at this point in time. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I know we didn't see the practices in Cleveland, but a lot of folks did, and ain't nobody was beating the John Metchie drum after any of those practices. It just doesn't make sense, other than they drafted him in the second round. They understand what he's been through, and maybe they feel like his ceiling is higher than I think it is, and they want to see it through and give him as many opportunities as they possibly can. But, boy, if you're Xavier Hutchinson, if you're Ben Skoranek, and I know some of these guys are banged up, if you're Robert Woods, and Robert Woods was in there today, you know, quite a bit, but if you're any of those guys and Metchie is taking reps from you, at this point in time in camp, you got to look up and go, man, what am I doing wrong? How am I not climbing the chart, at least the ladder in the wide receiver room?
But Clint, but do you look up and say, what am I doing wrong? Or are you saying I'm not?
I think it's blatantly obvious what they're doing. I mean, it's.
Yeah, I was going to say, it ain't nothing you doing. Like, Xavier Hutchinson can't sit there and say, I haven't outplayed him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just you're talking about a guy. Like, if this guy wasn't a second round pick, we'd be talking, like, everybody would be talking. His drops would be the missed opportunities, the drops, the ineffective, the inability to separate at the wide receiver position would push him down the depth chart in a major way. But because he was drafted in the second round, you know, they're going to see this thing through. So, to me, that Metchie's a guy that you should see play in the second half of this ballgame. And at the end of the day, you got to go out there in the second half and earn the right to play in the first half of preseason game four. We got to see something. But instead, he's in there with CJ running with the ones. So it's interesting. We'll see. And look, it's a roll of the dice. Maybe the ceiling is higher than what we've seen. I just don't know how they're arriving there, other than
his production and play does not say the space and the spots that he's playing in.
Agreed.
Someone text in, it's common sense. We kick it off like that. It's common sense. They've got Metchie, well, you said Mandy, but Metchie in with the starters to try to get him, to get them a kick in the butt, so that if they do end up releasing him, they've checked every stone and they're having to work with CJ instead of the scrubs. So they are trying to give him a chance. And if he doesn't cut it with CJ, he's gone.
I mean, other than the way you started the text, you're right. I mean, they're flipping every stone and giving him every opportunity. I'm just telling you, if I was 19, I'd have a problem with it.
Yeah, and I can get that from a certain standpoint, but if you are, which I believe, D'Amico, and you are Bobby Slowick, you're preparing for a season in which you're trying to win a championship. You're preparing big time, and to me, like, we're heading into the third preseason game. There's a thought like, hey, let's start getting the guys in the game that we think we're going to be getting in the game.
Let's figure out who five and six are. Let's figure out who five and six are. Figure out if we can. The receiver conversation, Ron, is like, you got to find out who five and six are, and if you want to talk about it on the field, it needs to be Sims or Skoranek or Xavier, who can play special teams, right? If you want to talk about, like, what decisions need to be made, if you cut Robert Woods, I believe you save $5 million on the cap. I mean, so it's there's what's going on the field, and there's cap ramifications that I would say are priority over giving a guy another opportunity that is time and time again has just not earned it.
Yeah, I'm just like, when you say that scrubs, that's fine. Robert Woods was able to get four catches for over 40 yards in the game against the Steelers. And Xavier Hutchinson was able to get five catches, 56 yards in the game against the Bears. And we've seen Ben Skoranek flash with Davis Mills. So, I guess that could be the point, but I don't know. I would lean towards, hey, we're getting ready for the season with people playing with CJ. Let's get more serious about that. All right, coming up, this dude is on a tear, and Tyler's making money off of Alex Bregman, and he is on a tear, which starts to bring up a big picture question. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
August 2nd as Alex drills one deep to left field. He's done it again. Four consecutive games with a home run, and the Astros take a 2-1 lead. Breggy is hitting bombs on a regular.
Describe the run Bregman's on right now with the slug and the power.
And the defensive play, that ball down the foul line. It's a big play. He's just found his groove. His swing is it's right, and level of confidence, which he never lacks. But right now, he's putting some good swings.
The hell has gotten into this cat?
I don't know, but I like it.
Yeah, he, hey, Alex.
Not to like this right here, man, especially when you went in that money in there, T.
Yeah, you came right off the bat. We got that text quick. Whew, total bases.
Is Breggy being ridiculous?
Yeah, he's at four home runs in four consecutive games. First time in his career he has done that.
Breggy bombs.
And it is clear. It is very, very clear, which is crazy, but it's been proven out. Tony Gwynn Jr., when he used to come on the show, whatever that is, but he would talk about, hey, when you're trying to measure and see what's going on with the Astros, look at Alex Bregman. Usually, if they're struggling, he is. Usually, if they're playing well, he is. Not Yordan, not Kyle Tucker at times, not even Altuve at times.
Shout out to my guy, Alex Bregman.
But when Alex Bregman is rolling, the Astros generally are. And when he's not, the Astros are generally struggling. Their offense is struggling. It's wild. Even, you know, Kyle Tucker's not in the lineup, but even when he was in it, all year that has been the case. All year, I bet you there is no player more on this team that you can look at and look at and see what he's doing individually and then see what that means for the team and to see those things mirror each other. He has been insane.
Yeah, look, and the timing's absolutely perfect. I mean, whether you look at it from the team perspective with no Tucker or you look at it from him personally, from his perspective, this is a monster year for him and his future. So the timing is it couldn't work out any better for him.
Speaking of his future, I got to be honest, I don't know where you all were on this, but I mean, there were, I would say probably most of the year, my thinking was, this is probably Alex Bregman's last year in Asheville. The free agent.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
I think that's where I was, especially, like, you remember this wasn't just a slow start. This was beyond anything we had really seen from him. And there had been struggles, and there were some ups, and then when you thought he was going, then he kind of came down again. But now, clearly, he is absolutely rolling. And I'm wondering if people change their tune. Maybe your tune was always the same. Should Alex Bregman be a priority for the Astros to bring back next year?
Yeah, look,
have we reached that point?
I think it's undeniable at this point. I'm big on obviously what he's doing at the plate, the caliber third base that he plays, but the over the top, the one thing with Alex Bregman that I value as much, if not more, obviously you got to be a great player in order to be in this conversation. But the stories that we've heard about him and Hunter Brown, him and Verlander a couple years back, and now him and Spencer Arrighetti, the conversations that are being had, the Kikuchi comment to Julia Morales yesterday talking about the team, the way they watch film, the chemistry, this is championship level. Like, I think Alex Bregman, whether he's always been that and we just didn't know, I think Alex Bregman is coming into his own and filling that void of leadership. That whether it was Dusty Baker or it was Carlos Correa or it was A.J. Hinch or whoever it was, Verlander when he was around more before he went to New York and then came back, there was a void of leadership, and it seems like Alex Bregman is coming into his own.
Something's clicked this year with that.
Yeah, man. And so that on top of the level third base that he plays, the bat he's swinging right now, it would really hurt to see that guy playing another uniform in the next handful of years.
Yeah, and now the more he produces, Clint, the higher that price is going to go up, because I think there are going to be other teams, because he's a free agent, there are going to be other teams that are desperate for his production and want to get him. Now, he is entering, he'll be 31 in March, so he'll be 31 when the season starts next year. And now we do know he did go and hire Scott Boras as his agent. So he's probably looking to get paid. That's the other point of it. Right now it does, because you've traded Will Wagner, who may have been an option behind him, and I know there's a guy in Double A that they potentially like there. But it feels like that is somebody. He is somebody that you're going to need rolling through here, and I think you'll have it, especially if you're not going to, you know, go long term with Tucker right away.
Yeah.
You'll have it. So yeah, it's right now. I can't believe I'm saying. I didn't even think it was going to be a conversation, and now it is clearly.
Well, I just don't know how. Like I don't know how you deny. Not you. I'm just talking in general in conversations. How you deny what you started this whole segment with just like. Tony Gwynn Jr. said it. We've heard it from Roflo. We've talked about it. Like, this team goes as Alex Bregman goes. When Alex Bregman gets hot, they win ball games. And when a guy is for whatever reason, when a guy has that kind of impact on an organization, along with all the other things we've discussed, boy, I don't know how you justify moving on from him.
Yeah, they're in a situation now where it's hard. And like you said at the beginning, hey. He is coming at the perfect time to get himself going. The absolute perfect time get himself going.
The other thing with him, I can't put my finger. Like, I think we talked about this. Like, I think there are certain guys that, like, I think Verlander, especially now after the New York debacle, I think Verlander would take less money to be here. You know, I think there are certain guys that are just really comfortable with what Houston brings to the table way or another. I think there are certain guys that understand the chemistry and all the championship DNA, if you will, that's here, and they want to be a part of that. And I don't think Tucker gives a rip. Like, I think Tucker just soon. Like, you can put Tucker in a damn Tigers uniform. I don't think he gives a damn.
This is his opportunity to really break the bank.
I just don't think he gives a damn. Like, he doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to really give a rip about that. I can't place Bregman. Well, you know, like Altuve, I don't think there was ever a question. Like, Altuve's going to be here.
Well, and they were going to work with him.
Sure, sure.
He's the guy.
With Bregman, I can't put a finger on, does this dude want to be a lifelong Astro, career-long Astro, or is he ready for greener pasture?
Yeah,
is he ready to move on? Does he see the window closing and wants to go get on with somebody else? I don't have a feel
for
it.
Does he have that Carlos Correa in him?
Yeah.
Where you know, like.
Well, in hindsight, the Correa thing is interesting. The Astros dodged a bullet there with the injury potential. And I mean, look, he's not – hell, I saw a list of shortstops the other day. He's not even top five. I mean,
he made the All-Star team, which is weird.
So. And they have Pena. So, they came out smelling like roses on that deal. I don't know. The Bregman thing is – that part of it is escapes me, man. I can't get a good feel for the vibe of Alex Bregman. Do you want to raise that young son you got in H-Town? Or do you want to –
Well, apparently he's let his house go here.
House on the market?
It's gone.
It's already sold.
Only house he has, current house that he has, is in Arizona.
I'll be damned.
That came out. So, I mean, I think the way he's playing.
Getting ahead of the curve, isn't
he? I'm just saying, the way he's, that doesn't mean he's gone. But I think the way he is playing, Clint, though, with his agent, I think he's potentially going to be faced with, hey, man, this is so much money. Or such a difference from what the Astros are given compared to, like, Verlander and the Mets. Like, I think I got to take it.
Right.
So we'll see what happens there. That is our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how. At tmobile.com/switch. All right, coming up, we sat down earlier today after practice and spoke with the head coach, D'Amico Ryans. We did a one-on-one with D'Amico Ryans. Hear what he has to say about a lot of topics. Hear what he has to say coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. And for the first time this year, the start of this season, which is the most anticipated season ever, I believe, in Houston Texans football. We got to sit down and talk with the head coach, D'Amico Ryans.
H-Town, I'm back.
Yeah, he is. Good conversation after we were in that heat. We went inside, got a little air conditioning, and this was our conversation with the head coach.
Got the head coach here with us, and I just kind of want to jump back into it, man. Last year we talked a lot, and you talked about the run game and how important that was, and how you wanted to be this team to be physical. The parts that you have looks like it could be a really high octane down the field type of an offense. I'm just curious, with the new parts, how do you make the is the run game still a priority like that in terms of physicality of what you're looking for?
Yeah, I think for me it always starts with the run game. Like, if you want to open up the pass game, everybody wants to talk about the receivers we have and all these deep threats. Like, to make people respect you, you got to make them respect the run. So it's going to start, I think, with our addition of Joe Mixon and his capability and what he's able to do in the run game. Guy's had over 1,000 yards probably every year in his career. So he's successful running the football. Just in our O-line with them, having some continuity, having all of our guys back and out there together, I feel like we should be more successful at running the football. But as you know, like, games change for me. It's like, what do you do this game or that game? Like, what do we need to do to win the game as compared to what is their defensive philosophy? What are they taking away, right? Are they taking away the run? And we need to be able to throw the football, but we got to be able to establish the run. I think that's where your physicality starts. And the physicality in the run game starts from the wide receivers and their ability, right, and willingness to get in there and block.
Miko, we've talked several times about Kenyon Green's story, obviously, and I know you are probably exhausted with talking about the history of it. But when we look at what he's doing right now, man, as it pertains to that run game, just having a guy in the middle at that left guard position, Andrew Scruggs, to be honest with you, at center, just looking like they're solidifying that inside line with Shaq Mason. How big is that in a sense of generating that physical run game you're talking about?
Man, it starts with what Kenyon did in the offseason. Kenyon got himself in shape. He got himself ready to go in the offseason. And it, like I said earlier, it gave him a chance to compete. And right now, it was his past game versus the Steelers. So it was his best game, the best I've seen him look. Just getting to the second level, staying attached to blockers, staying attached to defenders, I'm sorry. But, man, he's working every day. He's out here. He's grinding through it. And he's gotten better because he's getting reps, yep. Right? He's available. And if you're out here and you're taking coaching and it means something to you, you'll get better. And that's what I see from Kenyon.
What about when I watch the film, it just, like, his feet jump off. I remember the first day we watched practice out here, and I'm 100 yards away, obviously, but I'm watching the offensive line. I didn't even know it was him. I mean, I wasn't even registering that he changed his number, and I'm like, damn, that big fella got some feet over there, you know. And then you watch the first game and you can really see him getting to that second level. His feet just jump off the film in terms of doing what you guys are asking him to do in the run game. It seems like, I mean, everything he's done to get there has I mean, it's reaping rewards at this point.
And it shows, right, when you take attention to your body, right? I think Kenyon has slimmed down, and right? he can move better, and you see that. You see the foot quickness, right? You see him with his power, and that's what Kenyon was known for coming out. He was a strong interior lineman, and you're seeing that power. You're seeing that quickness. What we like to see from our O-linemen, especially the interior guys, is can they move, right, laterally? Can they have? Do they have the speed to get up to the second level and block safeties, linebackers, whoever it may be? And he's showing that, man. And so I'm very, man, so proud of Kenyon for the work that he's put in, the work that he's put in that nobody saw, right? And now everybody's saying, like, oh, okay, now that's the Kenyon that we thought we had, and that's a credit to him, man.
D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Houston Texans, joining The Drive. I know our fans, we get it from text message, our listeners all the time, about their excitement of what Christian Harris can potentially be this year and can't wait to see him. And just curious to that point, is there any concern that this may be a long-term thing with Christian Harris? Is this something that fans can expect to see him soon?
No, we'll see him when he's ready to go. Right, there's no timetable or anything that I'm giving or putting out there for Christian. Like, we'll see Christian when that time is available.
Talk to us a little bit about Kamari Lassiter, 14, just walked through the building. You guys have, since y'all been here, and Nick as well, have talked about competition and creating competition. It seems like since Kamari's got here, he's been the dude opposite Derek Stingley. What is it that has convinced you from jump that, hey, this is a guy that needs to be on the field with the ones, and we got to find out what he's all about immediately?
Well, for me, I think he's convinced his teammates more than anything. You see him, whoever he lines up against, it doesn't matter. Right? He's going to compete and he's going to finish every single play. Like, and that's one thing I preach, is one thing I believe that truly makes you a better player. Like, if you want to make a play on Sunday inside that stadium, you better be able to make it in practice, right? And he shows it every single day, even if he's beat. Like, his finish to the ball, his finish through the football, like, and his, like, it's always, like, laser focused, locked in, being exactly where he's supposed to be. You coach him up, you give him a pointer one time, he got it, right? He got it, he's moving on. Like, and that kid has been the most locked in rookie that I've seen in a long time.
Looks like also in that secondary, we're seeing Kalen Bullock get a lot of run too as well. And we've been talking about it. We see him getting on the field a lot, probably midseason. Your thoughts about what he's bringing to the table?
He's fun to watch. one of the most exciting players for me to watch, like being, you know, on defense, just seeing him, right, roam the middle of the field and go play sideline to sideline from the free safety position. Not many can do that, right? And that's, man, he's truly, like, ball hawking. Like, he makes a play on the ball every day. Like, I can highlight him in a team meeting every day. He's making a play on the football. So, and I'm fired up about that kid as well. I mean, to get two young players like Kamari and Kalen in our secondary, and for them to actually be able to learn behind Stingley, behind Petrie, Ward, Emert, like, it's a really good room, man, a really good competitive room. Those guys are really tight, and they help each other. And nobody's pulling for Kalen more than – you see him make a play, our whole sideline is going crazy. You see Kamari make a play, whole sideline is going crazy. So I love to see that connectedness and the tightness of our team celebrating each other, especially the young guys when they make plays.
Am I crazy? Yes. when I watch him play with just the length and the kind of the way he plays, I see a hint of Kyle Hamilton in there, the way he plays.
I mean, we'll see. I think yeah. Kyle Hamilton still, you know,
play style.
I think we'll see who. I think he may be able to get the ball a little bit more.
Okay.
Than Kyle Hamilton. Kyle is being he gets down in the box a little bit more. He's a bigger body type, probably more physical player, but I think Kalen's is more range.
All right, we don't want to take too much of your time, but last year when we had a conversation with you, we were really skeptical about that wide receiving core, and you looked at us, you looked at us like you knew something that we didn't know, and all year we were like, damn, I guess that's the right thing. I would say the spot that we have that with is the interior D-line this year. We have some wonders, some questions in that area. Your thoughts to kind of do it to us again like you did it to us with the wide receiver.
All right. What did I say last year about the receivers?
I ain't worried one bit about this.
All right. So interior D-line, I ain't worried one bit about it. I ain't worried about it. No, it's been a lot of guys in and out. I mean, two guys that were with us last year, Kurt and Khalil Davis, they're doing their thing, being consistent. They gotten better. And adding – all right, Foley and adding Mario Edwards to our group, those guys, I mean, Mario, I mean, every day, he's playing our style of ball. I think this scheme has really helped him, right, to flourish. I see him in the backfield a lot. He's being able to attack. He's a guy who's played DN. Now we're moving him inside in the interior spot and think we can utilize his quickness, right, and his – man, he's just very disruptive. So I see him, you know, being a force for us inside. And Foley is just a big run stopper, right, that can – you're not moving him. They try to move him a lot out here, but he just cannot be moved in that interior. And that's what you need to play good run defense. And then once we get, you know, DeNico back rolling, we try.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
To get him to rushing inside on third downs with Daniil and Will on the edge. So I think we have a deep group. And we have guys that can do multiple things, like Danico, Mario, guys who can play in and interior. So for me, I love it because it gives us more flexibility, right? And we got more guys that we can roll inside that can help us.
I need you to keep dialing up plays for him to make plays. It's a natural. I play with his pops, so it's a natural way for me to remind folks that I did play a little ball back in the day.
There you go.
So keep dialing things up, man.
Let them know, man. Let them know.
Hey, what about – I think one big question, again, is with the linebackers. I think Christian Harris and Aziz, obviously, there's two guys there that, boy, could really, really go if they're all healthy. But with the Christian Harris situation, and I think even with Christian Harris, the depth is, I think, a concern, or maybe not for you, but as we look at it, and I think a big question fans have is if Christian Harris is out, what is the depth? What is that? Who's next guy up, and what does that look like?
Yeah, next guy up for us is Henry. Like, Henry has been out here all camp. Henry's been one of our most consistent players throughout camp. He's played the wheel linebacker spot, the Mike backer, like, he's played all three spots. So Henry is a guy who's been very reliable, and I think his teammates see, you know, how reliable he is when he's communicating, being in the right spot, you know, and he's making plays as well. So Henry and Aziz have been running it with our nickel group, and they've been doing a pretty good job.
All right, man, we appreciate you joining us. That is the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, live right here on The Drive.
That's right. That was our conversation with the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, and hey, man, he's excited about them young dudes in the secondary. He is really, and you talked about it with him about competition, and it seems like, boy, he came and took that job, according to D'Amico Ryans. But the excitement he has for different guys at different levels about this defense really kind of jumps out to me.
Yeah, there's a level of confidence with D'Amico on this team. Look, he's always a confident guy, and especially confident in what they do and their plan and their roster and his guys, yada, yada, yada. But there's a confidence level with D'Amico that's a little different than last year. I think he's very confident in his team, the young guys, the old guys, their ability to go win games and with a difficult schedule. The one thing that obviously fans and media were not privy to is really the reason why he's so comfortable with Toa Toa, and the reason he's so comfortable with the way that they've handled Kamari Lassiter at this point in time. Clearly, those guys have convinced in a major, major way that it's a short-lived competition, and they belong here.
Yeah, they're having a lot of fun out there, and obviously, we can't wait to see what it looks like on the field against the Colts starting Week 1. All right, coming up, Big 3 at 3. The Astros keep it rolling, keep it going. Kikuchi with another big, big night. Alex Bregman continues as well. We'll let you know who was on the practice field, who wasn't today. And a team that the Texans play, they've had a tough couple of days injury-wise. We'll keep you updated on all of that as we continue rolling right here live on The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.